be here? You're supposed to say yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have allowed to respond. So, Mummy, I just want to bring a short scripture reading and then I'll talk a little bit about it. It's from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. You'll have to excuse my voice. I'm losing my voice, I think. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Sorry. Do not worry about your life or your body or what you will wear. Is life not more important than food and more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lily of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One of the greatest characteristics of human beings is the tendency to worry. True that all of us have this natural predisposition to worry. We all worry about all sorts of things. Some of these things are personal, some are family related, some are really major. And I'm sure that all of us here can remember when we worried about the Russians taking over the world, about the nuclear bomb, about AIDS, and now we're being encouraged to worry about climate change and global warming. There's always something to worry about. I'm a great fan of Peanuts, the strip cartoon that used to be in some of the newspapers. And in that one I remember, the toddler Linus, dragging his inevitable comfort blanket, says to Charlie Brown, "You look kind of depressed." "I worry about school a lot," Charlie Brown replied. Then he adds, "And I worry about my worrying so much about school." And as Charlie and Linus sit on the log together, Charlie sighs and says, "Even my worries are worries." Excessive worrying leads to stress. In our world today, stress is a way of life. And many people are filled with anxiety about many things. Everyone you meet complains of being stressed. Everybody complains of being tired, being sick. A major part of the National Health Service exists to treat stress-related illnesses. We're the people, for the most part, are either sick or tired, or even both. What are people worrying about? The cost of living, not having enough money, personal relationships, the job, or lack of the job, what I'm going to wear, and I'm sure the list could go on and on. Perhaps even our worries also have worries. Do you experience anxiety in your life? Are there nagging issues, nagging problems, nagging worries over health and finance and work and relationships? Do you think you won't have much success in dealing with these kinds of problems? Have you accepted worry as a natural part of your life? Well, of course, we're not the first people to experience stress and anxiety. We may think ours is greater than anyone else's, but anxiety has been afflicting people since time began. At the time of Jesus, anxiety was everywhere as it is today. The people standing on that mountainside when he talked to them in this morning's text were no different than you or me. They had to deal with the problems of paying their bills, feeding their families, pleasing their employers, raising their children, paying their taxes, saving for the future, which is what we do. What did Jesus say to them to help them deal with the pressures and fears of living? Well, Jesus didn't skirt the issue, nor did he give them some pious platitude. He gave them a cure for anxiety. He dealt directly with the cause and the cure for the worried and anxious man. Jesus plainly said, "Do not worry." You're serious? How can they expect us not to be anxious, considering the many things with which we have to deal? The obvious answer is, of course, Jesus was, and still is serious. And he's not only serious, he gives us the reasons why it's pointless to be anxious. We shouldn't worry, because there's more to life than things. He speaks of people worrying over food and clothing and length of life, and he reminds them that life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And anyway, by worrying, none of us can have a single day for our lifespan. In other words, anxiety is futile, because life is more than things. It's more than the material. It's more than the physical. It has eternal dimensions. So many of us today measure our life in terms of the material things. But those things are deceptive. While they may appear to have lasting value and worth, they're really only temporary. In a moment, they could be gone. What's more, they're not nearly as important as so many other things. Husband, wife, children, family, friends, all have or should have a higher priority than things. Virtues like honesty and integrity and mercy and patience and love are more important than material things. Life is more than things. We should not be anxious, because we have a Heavenly Father who will provide. And pointing to the birds of the air and the lilies in the field, and observing they're both fed and clothed by the Heavenly Father, Jesus makes a very important point. He points out it's obvious they don't spend any time worrying about things. I must admit, I've never ever seen a bird flying around wringing its hands over where it's going to find a worm. The lilies are not taking extra strength pain reliever because of a tension headache. God takes care of them. Jesus points out that we're worth much more than them. That's right, God clothes the grass of the field which is alive at the day it's thrown in the furnace. How much more will he do for you? If we're going to conquer worry, we must come to the realization that God has it all in hand. So many people are simply not convinced that that's true. But if you really believe that God is in charge, that he loves you and will meet your needs, then you can relax. Relax in faith. If for some reason you don't believe that God can take care of you, then you'll be unable to relax. You'll feel it's up to you to take care of your needs. But Jesus tells us that we shouldn't be anxious, because we can only live one day at a time. In other words, we can only live in the present, in today. This should be obvious, but to many, it's not obvious. They know that tomorrow is coming, and they're determined to worry about it. But being anxious over what might happen and may not yet come is to be suffering in advance for something that may never happen. It's living in the what ifs. What if this happens, or what if that happens? But what if it doesn't? And anyway, if it does, won't you have enough time to worry about it then? Somebody once said that tomorrow is the today that you're worried about yesterday. And that's true. And that's very true, because we sit here worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, and it may not happen. We may even die and not be here tomorrow, and then we're worried for nothing. Why worry about tomorrow? We've got enough trouble worrying about today. When we worry about tomorrow, we're borrowing tomorrow's troubles, and we develop a lifestyle of worry. And chronic worry is worry because they don't have something to worry about. So don't turn into a chronic worrier. I heard about a gravestone that had the inscription that simply read, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." And I believe that a lot of people share in that sentiment. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus gave you an answer. He said, "Seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus issues a supreme challenge to every one of us. He tells us our focus should be on God, on his righteousness and his kingdom. And if our focus is on us, then we'll continue to be worried. But if our focus is on the things of God, then we'll be concerned with something other than us. To seek his kingdom is to seek to put our lives, our whole being, under his authority. We must live our daily lives depending on the life of Christ. We must come to him and seek his face. We must read his word and pray. Open our hearts to him and humble ourselves before him. trust in his work that will bring us to maturity. And we can't do it on our own. Jesus began the work in us, and he's going to complete it. When we stand before God on that final day, none of us will say to the Lord that we're responsible for being there. All we'll be able to do is to marvel at God's grace. Jesus said we should seek first his kingdom. There's nothing more important than that. Do you really believe that? Most of us will say yes. And if we really believe there's nothing more important than the Lord, why do we live as though everything depends on us? Our challenge is to put the Lord first. And that is the cure for anxiety. If I'm anxious, when I think I'm alone in life. I'm anxious when I think it all depends on me. I'm anxious when I don't trust in the goodness and provision of the Lord. I'm anxious when my focus is on me and my needs. I'm anxious when I think I need to manipulate circumstances to get my needs met. When I trust genuinely trust in the Lord, the anxiety level falls. The choice is ours. We can choose to borrow trouble from tomorrow and live life as if God was not there, or we can trust him and seek him with all our hands. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the answer is there. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen. Thank you. Happy accident.